All right. Good morning, church. As you can tell, I am not up here by myself today. And so last summer, we tried something new with our summer interns, which was to do a team preach together. And it was a ton of fun last year. Got a chance to work on this for about a month with two of our interns, if you remember, Josh and Abigail last summer. We worked on a sermon together, we preached together, and so we decided to try it again this year, and Allison was brave enough to say yes for this first one. We may have another one this fall, we're not sure, we'll see, probably depending on how this goes today, but I can imagine that for Allison, her first time sharing in front of the entire congregation, this is a pretty high-pressure moment, and I remember the first time I had to preach in the English service at the church I used to serve at. Even the first time I preached in class in Bible college, I was filled with anxiety and worry because we want to so carefully and properly handle the Word of God. And so I just want you guys to join me as I pray for both of us. I pray especially for Allison that the Lord would fill her to speak because it's not us speaking this morning, it's God. And so if you would just join me in a word of prayer, if you want to stretch out your hands towards her, you can as well. But let's pray. God in heaven, we just come before you acknowledging that this is your word. And your word still transforms hearts and lives. And so it's not about what we have to say, but about what you want to say to us, to your people this morning. And so God, would you fill this place, fill not just our mouths and our lungs, but you would fill the mind of every person in this place, and that you would draw out truth from your word for us, and that truth would be planted deep in our hearts and bear fruit. Everything else, Lord, we just want to forget when we walk out, but that you would speak and you would move in us. So we love you, Lord. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Well, good morning. It is such a joy for John and I to be here this morning sharing from the Word of God. And for a while, our congregation has been going through a series called Radical. And we've been exploring what it means to live in a radical and countercultural way. And so today, we're going to continue through that series and talk about what it means to live in a radical community. As many of you know, I've been interning under Pastor John for the past six-ish weeks. And a big focus of my ministry has been to discover what community really is and how to foster community here. So today we're going to be diving through Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And this verse gives us insight to the type of community the disciples partook in. So we would love to share some of the things that we've been discovering about community through this passage. So I'm going to start by reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. So please follow along as I read. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking breads in their home, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God for having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. So we know that the book of Acts is the story of God's people, his church, and it's the story of them stepping into the life and calling that God had given them. While the Gospels focus on Jesus' ministry on earth, Acts focuses on the Holy Spirit's empowering work in the disciples. And so in this Acts 2 passage that we just read, this community becomes the blueprint for us to be the radical community that God wants us to be. Now, it would be easy to look at verse 42, which is a very, very well-known verse, and just say, okay, the blueprint is laid. As long as we have prayer, as we study God's word, as we have communion, we fellowship together, then we are living as the community that God wants us to be. But while all of these things are vitally important and are pillars of who we're supposed to be in Jesus, the writer of Acts, Luke, he actually builds these pillars on a foundational characteristic of radical community. And that's this: radical community is devoted. The characteristic that made this gathering of disciples unique, that set the stage for them to become the Holy Spirit-empowered people that God called them to be, was that they had devoted themselves to something. When Acts 2:42-47, what it describes for us, and ultimately the entire book of Acts is describing for us, is a people who have completely given themselves to something new, right? Disciples of Jesus were committed. They were all in to this new life that God had called them to. And that was because the resurrection of Jesus had given them all the hope and promise that they needed to say that there is nothing worth my time, there's nothing worth my energy, my money, my passion, nothing worthy of my life except the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the thing about following Jesus and ultimately being the type of radical community that God wants to be. We have to ask the question, are we all in on being the community that God wants us to be? Once the foundation is laid, this foundation of devotion, then you can start building the pillars or the walls of this building on top of that foundation, right? The disciples built radical community on the pillars of the apostles' teaching, which is they were studying together God's word or really diving into God's word together. They built it on fellowship, which is relationship in the context of community. And they built it on the breaking of bread, which was communion. And for the early church, this was a full meal. It's why when we have communion once a month at our church, we try to tie that in with church lunch as well so that we can fellowship together around the table. And then they built it on the pillar of prayer, which as we all know, as part of the Alliance, that prayer is the primary work of God's people. In our church, we have all of these things built into our DNA. And being part of a radical community is not just about having all of these things in our schedule or our life or our church calendar, but being a radical community is about devoting ourselves to doing these things with the people that God has placed in our community.
Yeah. And I think that's the key to a community. We must devote ourselves to doing things with the people that God has placed in our lives. And sometimes that means switching up our perfectly planned schedule so that others can join us. And other times it means choosing to be with others when it's uncomfortable or not as convenient. There's such beauty when we get to do things together. And this devotion to togetherness in all things is what we want to take part of. A big way we can demonstrate this devotion to our community is by the way we love and care for one another. Going back to John's house or building illustration, our foundation is community. And the pillars on which we build this community upon are prayer, the breaking of bread, disciples' teaching, and fellowship. And lastly, the roof, or the main action that ties all of these things together, is caring deeply for one another. And this is shown in both the intangible and tangible giving and caring. And this can be a stretching idea, and it requires us to step out of our comfort zones and familiar habits, but it's important to provide holistic care for people. It allows them to feel truly loved. This idea of caring for one another in such a self-sacrificial way is found in verse 45 of our passage. It says that the disciples were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And this shows that the disciples chose to sacrifice their own comfortability and possessions to meet the others of, or meet the needs of the people that they were ministering to. The NIV version of this verse specifically details the selling of property as well. And although this sounds like pretty radical living, I think that the sacrifice described here may look different for us. Today, the surrender of self can take on many forms, but it all ultimately opens doors for us to care more deeply for others. For example, when John got back from a life conference a few weeks ago, he was impacted by COVID. And along with a lot of prayers for negative tests and mild symptoms and a quick recovery, a handful of friends in our young adult ministry and the general church body decided to bring him food and activities for quarantine. And this is just a simple yet good example of how both the intangible and tangible presence is given and needed. Friends from our community not only took time to pray, but also cook and deliver food. Ultimately, we desire for people to be cared for on a personal level. Not only caring for others is a way to show devotion to each individual, but it also shows our devotion to the community as a whole.
So I know if you've been joining us for, you know, a few months now, you have been hearing a lot about the young adult ministry, the young adult group in our church. And that's partly because I love talking about the group, because it's been really exciting to be a part of it. But I want to just paint a picture of what our ministry has gone through, even in the last year. The young adult ministry or group in our English congregation has been in an interesting spot since last September, or even slightly before that. The pandemic had really been shifting people in and out of the group. Some people, some folks moved on to new churches, and that's okay. We bless them to go. Others moved on to new cities or to new stages of life and kind of departed the group. And by September last year, the young adult group had shrunk and shrunk to the point when it was like about five regulars and maybe just a few folks that came every now and then. And so around that time, right around late August, early September, our young adult core team decided we're going to shift the way that we're going to do things. We're going to commit to meeting together every Friday in the same place, which was my apartment. And we had not really been doing that prior to that during the pandemic. We would meet like 1 week in the church courtyard, 1 week on Zoom, and it was just like nobody ever knew where we were going to meet. And you know, you had to rely on the group email to tell you. And even then, sometimes people showed up in the wrong place or hopped on Zoom and we're not supposed to be on Zoom, things like that. So we decided to meet together at my home every Friday night. And then we're going to do a potluck dinner, which was easy because there's only like five or six of us. And so we just had a few different dishes and we would eat together. And then we would study the Bible together and we would really just be together and get to know one another. It felt like after maybe a year of the group shifting and changing and people coming in and out, we didn't know each other super well. And so we had all the key ingredients for a radical community, right? Studied the Bible together, and I mean really studied it. This is something I love about the group is that we love to study the Bible. We prayed for one another. We broke bread together. We ate together, and we got really tied into one another's lives. But the key from the beginning for this group was that we really committed to being together. And by being together, we were caring for one another. And on that foundation of devotion, devotion to this micro Christ community, it's just a small group that God was calling to, we put the pillars or the walls of the word and fellowship and food and prayer and had this roof of compassionate care, and God started to bring people to fill the house. And I think that was the thing that was so exciting for this group, as that over the next 9 months, really as we were building into it, God was bringing people into our community. And because radical community starts with being devoted. So I think the question for us today, or for us to think about, is what would it look like for you to devote yourself to this community? This is a question for every generation to think about, whether you're in junior high, or high school, college, young adults, even if you're in college and you're here just for a few months during the summer. This is a question for young families, for parents, empty nesters, retirees. All of us have to ask, what does it mean to be part of the community here at San Jose Christian Alliance Church? A question that maybe we need to wrestle with is, are you here as a consumer, that you come in on a Sunday morning and you just are here for an experience? Or perhaps God is calling you into something deeper, to be part of a radical community that's devoted not only to the way of Jesus, but to caring for the people of Jesus as well. And so radical community is devoted, but verse 42 is not the end of our passage. And being devoted is not all there is to being part of this community. In verse 43, we are reminded that as the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread together in prayer, God was actively working in their midst, and the disciples responded to God's activity in their community. It says in verse 43 that awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And so while radical community is devoted, radical community also celebrates. Radical community celebrates because the natural response to God working in our midst is wonder and celebration. We are reminded that we ought to be filled with awe when we see the supernatural working amidst the natural, and that we should celebrate God's divine action in our stories. And so, again, a question for us is, are we celebrating the moments when people are being saved, when lives are being healed and transformed, and God is drawing people to himself? We have to celebrate the work of God in our midst.
And again, to echo what John is saying, celebration is a natural response to the things that God is doing in our lives. This verse does not explicitly say that the disciples put on party hats and celebrated. And it also does not explicitly mention celebration or how to partake in the holiest of celebrations. But we see this concept of celebration in the awe that they had in the signs and wonders that God was providing. And on top of that, we see them celebrating the small moments in which God was showing up in their everyday lives too. They ate with gladness at the opportunity to break bread together on a daily basis.
And rather than looking at celebration as an event that takes place, it can better be seen and recognized as a heart posture, a posture in which we're reflecting and praising God for the things that he is doing in our life. Celebration is such an important aspect of our life, and I know that God brings himself so much glory in these seasons of celebration. It is a time when we can come to God in gratitude and expectancy for the things that he has done, is doing, and will continue to do. And what is celebration without the presence of others? In verse 46, we see the spirit of celebration continue through the disciples on day-to-day activities. Even when simply eating together, they're filled with glad hearts. They're also thankful to attend the temple together. This is a beautiful illustration of celebration. Celebration does not mean extravagant parties or cake. It's simply recognizing God's goodness. We're called to celebrate constantly, no matter how big or small an event is. In our culture, we're so accustomed to celebrating the big monumental milestones in our life. Baptisms, birthdays, graduations, and retirement are some of these big things that we typically are quick to celebrate or assume celebration will follow. And these are important parts of our life. God is working constantly in both the big and the small ways, and therefore all of these things are worthy to be celebrated. I've also learned that celebrating the small and often overlooked events in our life not only brings God glory, but allows people to be fully seen. The disciples gathered together on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes when meeting daily, it's kind of hard to find big changes or moments to share. And this is because milestones typically don't happen overnight. So rather than choosing to sit awkwardly and just in silence, this is when we get to share the smaller victories of our life. This is when we get to know the more intimate aspects of one another's life that often are not as showy or shared because they seem so insignificant. Sometimes it can also be hard to find any victory at all. Community not only celebrates with us, but also finds things in our lives to celebrate. When we're stuck in a rut ourselves, it's difficult to find God-given moments to really rest in. And our community is filled with people who walk alongside us to witness God's workings within us. These people have been praying for us and besides us, and they recognize the many God miracles in our lives that we cannot.
So recognizing God's supernatural activity in the small moments of our lives really prepares us to recognize his supernatural activity in the big moments. In our young adult group, over the course of many months from September on, we really began to recognize that God was at work in small things. You may remember, if you've been coming to our church, that around Easter, one of our young adults named Brian got baptized, and this was a very exciting moment for our young adult group. That Easter Sunday, bright sunny morning out on the parking lot, and I remember I was about to dunk Brian, and the entire young adult group came up to really support and celebrate with him this life-changing decision that he had made to follow Jesus. But that baptism, Brian's baptism, didn't happen in a vacuum, because that's April. And Brian started coming to our community in September. And there were so many moments before that April baptism where when we looked back, we could celebrate the work that God was doing in the small things. Things like Brian Googled Chinese Christian church, and our church website was like in the first three or four options. And I think we were one of the only ones with an English website. So thank you, website team. Also, thank you all the Google employees in our church for fixing the algorithm to put our church in the top three or four options. That was a small thing that we definitely celebrated this fall. Another thing that we celebrated was right around January, just kind of unexpectedly, Brian started to pray with us. And we would pray weekly in our small group. We would pray corporately for what was going on in our world. We'd pray for one another. And around that time, Brian began to just pray and ask God to heal people in our community, heal broken things in our world. And that was a really, actually for us, I don't think it was a small thing, but it felt like a really major thing. But maybe in the end, it was a small thing where there was a shift in his thinking to begin seeing the creator of the universe as someone that he could have a relationship with or at least talk to. And so these small moments prepared us to celebrate the big moment and the big work that God was doing in Brian's life. And that's he drew Brian to himself, and he really gave us as a young adult group front row seats to that work. And so radical community is devoted, radical community celebrates. And then finally, from our passage, we are reminded that radical community trusts. In Acts 2:47, it reminds us that after all the things that the disciples were doing in devoting themselves, in celebrating, ultimately it was the Lord who added to their number day by day, those who were being saved. So radical community trusts that God is going to grow the community by drawing people to himself. For the disciples here in Acts 2, they weren't doing anything beyond just faithfully living out the radical community that God called them to be. This is what God is calling us to as well. We have to faithfully devote ourselves to being part of a radical community, and then we have to faithfully celebrate what God is doing in our midst. But after that, the rest is up to him. We have to trust that he will take our faithful obedience and draw people to himself through it, because trust, our trust, takes form in our lives as faithful obedience. Walking alongside Brian this past year has definitely been an exercise in trust for our young adult group. The whole time, God was reminding us that ultimately, he's the one that is drawing Brian to himself. And if you're wondering, I did ask him for permission to share all of this. But all we had to do with him was to be faithful with the task that God had given us. And that's to be the community that God calls us to be. Shortly after his baptism, when Brian received a job offer down in Los Angeles, we also had to trust God was going to continue the good work that he had begun in Brian, even if it meant Brian leaving our community. We were definitely sad, and I think this in particular was because we realized that our entire community had really poured into this one person's life. But ultimately, radical community continues to trust God even when he sends people out of our families and out of our communities. And since Brian left, one of the things that we have been celebrating is that God continues to bring new people into our young adult group. Almost every week, it feels like there's a new person checking out this ministry and wanting to be part of the community. It's been an exciting time for us. We really believe together as a small group that we were given the task of faithfully being a radical community with Brian, which I believe was a pretty small task for us. And because we were faithful with a small thing, now God is giving us more. More people to faithfully welcome into our community, and ultimately more lives for us to trust God to draw to himself.
It was so cool to hear all the stories about Brian and be there for his baptism, but also prayerfully sent him off when he had to go to LA. But at the same time, God was doing so many great things in Utah as well. So I go to school in Salt Lake City and started attending a new church plant this past year. And last October, around the same time we met Brian, well, you guys met Brian, we had a week off of school. And so my church decided to plan an outreach, like, camping trip to Zion National Park. And they advertised this trip on a secondary Instagram that didn't really have any direct affiliation with our church. I already planned on coming home for October break, but returned back to Utah, learning that one of my color guard teammates named Peng went on this Zion trip. And yes, I did receive permission as well. When I got back, Peng eventually told me that she loved meeting everyone that was on the trip and was kind of surprised that it was organized by a church. She also expressed that she considered herself a Buddhist Christian. And though these two religions seem very contradictory to one another, it was because she was an international student from Thailand who also spent a year in boarding school in Alabama. Though not fully professing as a Christian, Peng became one of the most consistent members in our church. She sometimes even brought her own friends to our events. And though none of us knew how her spiritual life would change or if it would change at all, we still loved her. We were her friends and her community. We prayed that she would eventually accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior, but knew it wasn't up to us. God would change her heart and reveal himself to her in his own timing and in his own way. We just needed to be faithful in loving her well. Months went by, and we saw glimpses of God showing up. We celebrated when she started praying to God. We celebrated every time she told her friends about our community. We celebrated when she first started reading the Bible and asking the questions to really discover who Jesus was. We celebrated the small moments when God was changing her heart. And about 2 months ago, I got a text from Peng saying, "Hey, I have something to tell you, but can you call me?" And so after work here in the office, I got a chance to call her, and she happily told me that she gave her life to the Lord and decided to follow Jesus. And what a happy celebration that was for the both of us. And this just goes to show the type of community that we want to foster. We're devoted to loving and caring for people no matter their circumstances or walk with the Lord. We also celebrate the times when God is working in their life. Though Peng may not have felt a significant change in her life when she first started praying or reading the Bible, we witnessed and celebrated these baby steps that eventually led to her new life. We then got the privilege of celebrating again at her acceptance of the gospel. In all this, we were faithful to what the Lord had provided us with. God was the one that brought Peng to us through the Zion camping trip. God knew how Peng's life would change before any of us even did. And all we needed to do was trust that God would show up, and we needed to embrace Peng as part of our own community.
So as the worship team comes up, or I'm going to invite them to come up, I just want to remind us that radical community is devoted, radical community celebrates, and radical community trusts. And so for the call for us today is that no matter who you are or what stage of life you're in, what fellowship group you're in, God is calling you to be a part of a radical community that points people to Jesus. And so where are you in that journey? Are you in a place where maybe God is calling you to devote yourselves, to go all in on the things that make us a community of Jesus followers? Maybe God is calling you to go all in with this particular church family, not just to come as a consumer, but to really tie yourself into this community, or to compassionately care for those who are in this place. Maybe the community that you're in needs to learn to celebrate both the big and small things that God is doing in our midst. And I know that the worship team is going to lead us in a song of celebration in just a moment. Or maybe there are those of you who are tied into communities already, and there are people in your circles of influence in your communities who God is calling to himself, and you need to walk in faithful obedience with them, and you need to trust God to do the rest. So wherever you're at, our hope this morning is that as a church that we would really be the radical community that God calls us to be. Would you pray with us? God, we thank you for your word and for the reminder today that you are always at work in our midst. We celebrate the work that you're doing, not just in the young adult ministry, but in every pocket of this church, even in things like our children's ministry, as young people are going up to SF to serve you, and in our youth group as they came back from life recently, and in all the different ministries in our church, in all the different congregations, this entire church family, Lord, we're excited to celebrate what you're doing. Help us to be faithful with the small things you've given us, and give us more. Not for our sake or for our story, but that you would get the glory, and that people who don't know you would be drawn into your presence in your family. God, we trust you to do that work, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand?
Our King, oh come let us bow at his feet, he has done great things. Oh, see what our Savior has done, oh see how his love overcomes, he has done great things, oh he has done great things. Done great. been faithful through every storm. You be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, 'cause God, you do great things. Yeah. Oh, we are up there, you conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great. Our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. 'Cause hallelujah, God, above it all, and hallelujah, God, unshakable, 'cause hallelujah, you have done great things. Above it all, and hallelujah, God, unshakable, 'cause hallelujah, you have done great things. 'Cause hallelujah, God, above it all, and hallelujah, God, unshakable, 'cause hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things.
Come before you, and we declare, God, that you not only do great things, but you are a great God. And Lord, we celebrate what you are doing in our midst. We celebrate what you're doing in the young adults. We celebrate what you're doing in our church community. But Father, we celebrate the fact that you desire for us to be in radical community, first and foremost with you, but also with each other. God, we thank you for your encouragement today. We thank you for the reminder, God, that you desire each and every one of us to not miss out in this radical community. So Father, we pray, God, that you would help us to be devoted, not only to you, but we would be devoted to one another, that we would be devoted to being in community, that we would continue to celebrate what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will continue to do. But Lord, we also ask, God, that you would help us to continue to trust you, that you will bring more and more people to yourself as they see your community in action, as they see us loving one another. Father, we ask, God, that you would send us forth to be this radical community. You would send us forth from here as we go about our week, as we go about our work, Lord, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, wherever you have called us to go. Father, would you come? Would you empower us, Holy Spirit? Would you fill us with your joy, with your peace, with your love, with your grace, knowing, God, that you are at work and that, Jesus, you invite us to be a part of this work. So, Jesus, we love you and we thank you, for it's in your son's name that we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church family. God bless you, and may you be filled with love and grace this week.